Beautiful. Take My Heart, Oh God. I love that song. Thank you, Micah. Good morning. Welcome to PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We're living out the Father's love and transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're here. I got a couple announcements for us. First of all, we got lunch, but well, right after this, we're having some KFC, and I hope you can stick around and have some fellowship for our annual church picnic and for a celebration of this young man over here, Cornell. We have Lunch Bunch coming up on Wednesday, and we're going to the Market Broiler. I'm getting the coconut shrimp. If you want to join us for the Lunch Bunch, it's at 11:30 on Wednesday at the Market Broiler. Talk to Jane Bates. Jane Bates is right there. Also, next Sunday after worship, we got some blood pressure check. Juliana will be here. Actually, we have some new members joining next week, too. If anybody's listening on the podcast, and I know there are a couple people, this is a communion service. I heard someone ask Cornell, how you feeling? And Cornell said, numb. And I don't know if he's the only one, but I feel that way too. It's a little surreal. I think it's appropriate to begin the service with a little praise of God for Cornell. But before we just give him some applause, I'd love to present him. He's such a humble dude, right? After serving here 20 years, we were meeting with personnel, and we said, what can we get you? Can we give you a big celebration? And like I mentioned last Sunday, he said, absolutely not. I'd love to be thanked personally and just offline by people. But can I keep this little doohickey that I've plugged into the organ that makes these crazy sounds? And session voted, absolutely. And then can I take home a hymnal? And we actually have a congregant who works with leather, Mark Lackey, and he made him a hymnal cover, a leather hymnal cover with a nice snap on it. So I'm going to give you this, the Cornell, and then also from us as a staff, we gave you some mugs with all of our signatures on them. Would you please stand and give this man a round of applause and praise God with me for Cornell? And then would you please remain standing and turn this moment of gratitude into a moment of praise. A guy named David Crowder wrote a book called Praise Habit. And he said, you can turn anything you're grateful for into a praise simply by inserting the God who made. Are you grateful for Cornell?
Yes.
We turn that into praise by saying, we praise you, God, for making Cornell, for creating in him this fidelity. He's led us in worship for 20 years. And if you are grateful for Cornell and grateful to the God who gave us Cornell, please sing loudly after I call us to worship. This is our song. This is our call to worship. Comes from Psalm 84. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed ones. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord our God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? O Lord of hosts, blessed is the person that trusteth in thee. Let's sing.
That song was my father's favorite song, and I did not know that was one of Cornell's. And this may sound strange. My dad died when I was 16, and every once in a while he visits me in dreams. And he visited me last night. And it was very profound. And this is for someone. This was his message. Everything's going to be okay. That's for you. And that's for you, Cornell. Come, now is the time to worship. just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come. 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 Thank you. tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ can sympathize with us in our weakness. For in every respect, he was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. With boldness, let us approach his throne of grace to help us in our time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and neighbor. Will you please pray with me? Our Lord and our God, we enter into your presence with humble hearts, and contrite spirits. For we continue to do what we know we ought not do, and we leave things undone that we ought to be doing. Forgive us, O Lord. You call us to unity, and yet we often choose our own way. You call us to love, and yet we choose our own self-interests. You call us to be good neighbors, and yet we choose to serve our own priorities. Forgive us. Mold us and make us into the disciples you created us to be. Change our hearts and minds from the inside out. Create in us a willing spirit and a clean heart, that we may be prepared and equipped for every good work that you have for us. To the glory of Jesus Christ, in whom we move and breathe and have our being. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. God is doing a new thing, and now it springs forth. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in him, and only in him, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to call an audible. Cornell and Magna, would you please come up? And actually, everybody stand to your feet again, because I think Magna deserves that as well. Go. We're grateful for this couple, and we praise God, right? Can I ask a couple choir members to just come up here and lay hands on Cornell and Magna? And I just want to praise God. And if you want to stay where you're at, just point your hands in this direction. I'm going to back up so we can get some choir members all around you, and I'll put my hand on choir members. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we thank you for Cornell and Magna. We thank you for the 20 years of using them as an instrument, and as an instrument of praise, as an instrument of directing our eyes to you. We pray over this next chapter. Wrap them in your peace, wrap them in your joy, and wrap them in your love. We're always remembering they will never be strangers. And forever, PCC will be a home where they will find love, acceptance, and encouragement. We praise you for Cornell and Magna. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people screamed.
Amen.
Thank you. And I'd like to close in a benediction. so proud of our God, right? And what a fitting sermon series, and what a fitting sermon I have for us this morning that had been given to me by God. It's Welcome Home. That's all of our September sermons will be on Welcome Home, because our ultimate home is the kingdom triumphant. Amen? Our home away from home is here. It's this physical location, but it's also more than that. It's these people. It's the church. And this morning, we're studying how, and next week, it'll be a place where we belong, a place to belong. This morning, it's a house of worship. And how fitting. Amen? Notice, Jesus made it so we can worship God anywhere, anytime. Have you ever heard me preach that? Hopefully, yes. Through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit was unleashed, you remember, on Resurrection Sunday, right? The Holy of Holies, there was this thick curtain, and it split from the top up, or from the bottom up, and symbolizing the Spirit coming into the world. And then Pentecost comes, and from heaven dwells on the earth since the very beginning. It's that same Spirit that hovered over the water in Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 1, we hear of the Spirit hovering over the water. Adam and Eve lead us into the fall. Spirit leaves. God dwells in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, at first in this moving temple / tent, and then it moves into the temple in Jerusalem. Then Resurrection Sunday, Pentecost, we can worship Jesus anywhere, anytime. But what's special about here? What's special about the people to your left and to your right? I love that people are starting to shout out answers. That's awesome. I like that. It's like a small group, but there's 80 of us, you know. Anywho, Let's get to scripture. That's enough. But that's what this sermon's about. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're thinking. What's special about this place? What's special about these people? How is this a house of worship? Our first text comes from Psalm. Actually, I'm just going to read them all right in a row. Psalm 5, 7, and then we're going to move to Matthew, and then we're going to go back to Chronicles. And I think they'll be up there. Yes, they are. Amen. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. To Matthew. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Then back to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You will not have to fight this battle. This is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking to Jehoshaphat. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, preach through me. Spirit, speak. And all God's people said. That first text, our God, the worship of our God, fear and reverence of our God, makes us one. And we're moving towards this table, and that just screams the oneness of here. I often ask this question, how many people are in this room? One. There's one people right here. That's us, the church of PCC. We are the people of God at this, his local outpost. Paul puts it, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female. He's not literally saying you stop becoming a man, you stop becoming a woman, you stop becoming Jewish, you stop becoming Gentile. It's our God trumps it all. Right? You walk into this space, you're not a Democrat. You're a follower of Jesus who is a Democrat. It trumps it all. It puts it up. I'm a huge White Stripes fan. There's people in this room that hate the band White Stripes. I come in this room, my love of God trumps all the other things that I like in the world. And we unite around our God. The worship in this space brings heaven here. It's we put the proper God on the throne of our individual lives, and that God group hugs us, right? Makes us one. That's from that Psalm passage, the Matthew passage. It's always been about the heart. And Isaiah said it, and Jesus quotes it. And he says, worship is about the heart. Worship of our God has more to do with the motivation than the music. Singing is something we do with our voices. Worship is something we do with our hearts. Do you follow that? It's a heart issue, both individually and collectively as a community. We walk in here, and especially today, we get to partake in the table and get a heart check. Is God at the top of your priority list after you walk out of this room? Do the people to your right and to your left, do they mean anything outside of this room? And then that Second Chronicles passage. Do you notice that? Jehoshaphat. Just a little context. Jehoshaphat is surrounded by enemies, surrounded by people that want to wipe out the Jewish way of life, want to wipe out the people of God. What does God say? Worship. Put me on the throne. Lift me higher than yourself. Lift me higher than, as a people, than anything else. And then how does he specifically say to do that? He says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. At this table and in this place, we trade in our fear for his assurance that he has us. Just like Danny's dad said to him in his dream last night, it's going to be okay. Our God is big enough. It's going to be okay. What else did we hand in? Don't be discouraged. What does discourage mean? Well, I'll first look at what encourage means. Encourage means to impart courage. What do you think discourage means? Yeah. Don't let your courage seep out of you. Keep your core. Keep your core identity. Remember whose you are. We trade in our fears in this space to a God who not only handles our battles, but is victorious every time. I just want to make a side note. What is Jehoshaphat told to do by God? He said, pick out some singers. Pick out Danny. Pick out Sam. Pick out Corey. Pick out Kenny. Don't put Jason on the side. His voice kind of sounds weird. Pick out Tim. And have them worship. Have them worship how? Loudly. Loudly. Quick applications. The holiness of God unites us. The holiness of God unites us. God is in this space. All of our individual lists all push down at least one and put God on top. This is a heart issue. And even now as we prepare, and you prepare, you and I both prepare to come to this table, are we just going through the motions? Are we just playing Christian? Because that's a dangerous spot to be. That's the only people that Jesus yells at. out of anger. Or people that think they have it all together, and yep, I ticked off the religious box. I went to church, I did this, I did that. Check your hearts. And as we gather this morning, how appropriate. Who in here is a little fearful about what this place is going to look like without Cornell? Right? I'm calling myself even that in that camp. Trade in those fears to a God that knows. Cornell's earned it, right? He gets a break. He gets the peace. He gets the shalom. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, unite us in your holiness. We come even now preparing to commune, remembering that in this place we are foreshadowing the kingdom triumphant. Check our hearts. And Lord, I myself leave my fear right here. I pick up faith in you, knowing that you've never let me down in the past, and you never will. And all God's people said, as we continue in worship, we give back to God just a portion of what he's so graciously blessed us with. He's poured over us. Blessings upon blessings, meals upon meals, light when it could be dark. You may notice in your orders of worship there's an envelope called labeled Deacon's Fund. This is a Deacon's Fund Sunday. This anything you put in this this envelope goes over and above and doesn't go into the PCC church operating funds. It goes to the least and the lost. And it goes to helping your brothers and sisters when they're in need. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
Thank you.
song said it, right? This is God's table. I said earlier in my sermon, it's not a Democratic table. I should say it's not also a Republican table. It's not a Presbyterian table. It's not a Reformed table. This is God's table. This is Jesus' table. And the only prerequisite, the only thing that's required to approach this table, to take communion, is need. Is need and brokenness. The only people that can't approach this table have all the answers and have nothing to learn. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered around the table for the Passover meal. He took the common elements that were a part of that Passover meal and he transformed them. And he made a new covenant with his people. And his people are who? You could say me. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Me.
We're his people. And he said, this used to symbolize getting out of Egypt so fast we couldn't wait for the bread to rise. And it was unleavened bread. And he picked it up and he says that's not what this outward sign of this inward reality now symbolizes. This will forevermore symbolize my body broken for you. Would you open your pods? This is the body of Christ broken for you and I. Take, eat. In the same way, he lifted up the cup and he said, this used to symbolize the blood of the spotless lamb that was spread over the doorposts of the Jewish families. And that blood protected the youngest boy, or the firstborn male of those families, for the angel of death to pass over the house. He said, that's what it used to mean. What it now is, this is my blood. My blood. Behold. Remember the first words of John the Baptist as Jesus comes over here, over the hill in the Gospel of John. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is now the outward symbol, the outward sign of Christ's blood shed for you and I for the forgiveness of our sins and for releasing us from the slaves of sin and death. Paul later adds the words to his letter to the church in Corinth. He says, as often as we, as often as PCC, as often as you and I gather around this table, eat this bread, and drink of this cup, we proclaim that Jesus has covered our sins, has taken away our fears. We hand him our fears, he hands us his righteousness. Luther called it the great exchange. We proclaim that we belong to Jesus the Christ. We belong to God the Father. We belong to the Holy Spirit who has drawn us to see Jesus, to introduce us to God. He also says, it proclaims that he's coming back. He's going to come back for each and every one of us. And there will be a day where we're praising God in the kingdom triumphant. And Cornell will be on the organ playing with his elbows. And we'll be just celebrating. Unpeel your pod things. This is the cup of Christ. the blood of our Savior, taking away the sin of the world. Take, drink. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we thank you for taking our fears. Please keep them. Please impart your courage as we worship you with our lives daily. Fill us with your Spirit that we might worship you individually and worship you as a community. We are the wheat among weeds. Make us the wheat among weeds. We believe. Help our unbelief. We thank you this morning once again for covering our sins. We thank you this morning once again covering the ways that we've fallen short. Embolden us and fill us. Transform us from the inside out and keep transforming us from the inside out. We thank you for meeting all of our congregants and their various illnesses. We lift up Mr. Clark. We lift up Joe. We thank you for keeping Edson amongst us. Thank you for the medical professionals over at Hoag and the EMTs. We give you some time quietly to lift before you each personally concerns, fears, hopes. We praise you for being a God big enough to handle the biggest problems of our lives. We praise you for being a God that makes himself small enough that he's able to listen to each and every one of us, that knows how many hairs are on our head, how many times our hearts are going to beat today, how many times we're going to blink, not because it's just you're a God that randomly can collects facts, because you want to know us and you want to hear from us, and you love us. I pray once again for Cornell's next chapter, that it might in some way outshine all other chapters of his life. We thank you, we praise you for him and Magna. Guard us and protect us. May we worship you and you alone. And all God's people said. I kind of don't want to give a benediction. What if I don't give a benediction? Then Cornell has to stay here, right? Right? Isn't that the rule? Dang it. No. Like I just preached about, I got to hand over and trust God. He has us. But for now, I'll give myself and you this benediction. Please put your hands out. May God's face shine upon us. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep us. And may the peace of Christ, the peace, the shalom of God that comes through Christ, that passes all earthly understanding, may it guard our hearts in our minds today, this week, this month, this year, and forevermore. May it be so. Amen.